Our next scripture reading comes from the book of James. Now, James is almost at the end of the New Testament. And if you'd like to follow along, in the Bibles at your seat, it is on page 1468. Or you may follow along on the screen or just listen as I read from James chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Listen for the word of the Lord for you. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect person, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Friends, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And that, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Words, words, words. Here a word, there a word, everywhere a word. From our tongues and by our thumbs, we churn out words. I suppose it's a good thing that we don't know all million words in the English language. Most of us have a somewhat smaller vocabulary. So whether we're talking or texting, tweeting or Facebooking or emailing or snail mailing, we often use the same words over and over again to convey our message. Sometimes the message is clear. Sometimes not so much. Often sending an encouraging word. Other times, maybe not. And sometimes we send a mixed message. But in today's scripture, there is no mixed message. Both Proverbs and James tell us we need to listen to the words of wisdom. Now, before we go any further, we need to be on the same page about what wisdom is. I had always thought that wisdom came with experience and gray hair. For some, it does, not for all. But we don't have to wait for gray hair to have wisdom. For the wisdom that the Bible is talking about is the wisdom that comes from God. Wisdom that comes from listening to and obeying our Lord. Proverbs tells us wisdom implores us to listen to her or else deal with dire circumstances and consequences. And it sounds really, really harsh. Wisdom will laugh at those who fail to heed her warnings, consequently coming to ruin. Or as one translation says, since the people ignored her and laughed at her warnings, when they fall, the tables are turned. Such firm, unkind words. But then wisdom is preaching on life and death matters. She is desperate to get the people's attention. Her goal is to change the hearts and minds of all humankind. And for another three chapters, she continues her admonition to listen to her. Then she begins her specific warnings. And among those warnings are quite a few dealing with what we do with our tongues, and in today's world, what we do with our thumbs. To mention just a few of the Proverbs. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Chapter 10, verse 19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. 11:12. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. 12:18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. 13:3. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. 15:28. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Or as my mother used to remind me, if you don't have anything nice to say. My mother also taught me a very valuable lesson that maybe some people of today's world should have heard. When I was about 10 years old, I was sitting in a chair, and it was summertime, and I was writing hard in my notebook. And Mother said, Alice, why are you writing in your notebook? It's summertime. You should be out playing. I said, well, Mom, I'm going to write a book. Well, what's your book going to be about? Well, it's going to be about us, about our family, what we do. And Mom looked at me and said, Alice, remember, never write anything down on paper you do not want to see in the headlines of the newspaper. Good advice. Think maybe she had read Proverbs and James. But the words in the third chapter of James, we are told how difficult it is to control the tongue. Now, I've heard people say, oh, wait a minute. James is talking about teachers, not us. However, John Calvin, our Presbyterian forefather, translates the original Greek word not as teacher, but as masters. And he comments, I take masters not to be those who performed a public duty in the church, but such as took upon them the right of passing judgment upon others. For such reprovers sought to be accounted as masters of morals. And he goes on to say, it is an innate disease in mankind to seek reputation by blaming others, boasting themselves in the work of exposing the vices of others. I agree. Anyone who thinks they may have the right to judge others is putting themselves in the position of knowing more than they do and being better than they are. don't want to think it is a natural desire within us to do such things. But James says, while we can tame just about everything else, we cannot tame our tongue. We can tame parrots and lions and elephants, but not our tongue. You ever had that experience? You said something and it just fell out of your mouth and you went, I wish I hadn't said that. If I could only take it back. Or have you ever hit send on a text or an email or a Facebook and realized, I really shouldn't have sent that? Of course, in today's world, technology is advanced, so you can delete or recall some of those, but we don't always have that opportunity. While we may not be able to completely tame our tongue or our thumbs, we are to strive to do so, and with good reason. Someone asked, is anything in the world more potent than words? Is anything in the world more potent than words? And how many of you remember the saying, the pen is mightier than the sword? Which is contrary to which some of us learned as children. How many of you ever heard, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? I don't know how many times I said that. But it's so untrue, so wrong. Words do hurt. A broken bone will heal. But a wound suffered from words may never heal. And who among us has not been on the speaking or receiving side of hurtful words, even misunderstood words? When my son was little, his dad called him Sport, S-P-O-R-T. It was not until my son was an adult when I found out that he never heard the word sport. What he heard was the word spore, S-P-O-R-E, a germ. What a difference between those two words. And then there are words spoken in anger or fear or jealousy or gossip. And oh my, how gossip can change the course of a person's life. When I was in eighth grade, there was a girl we'll call Penelope. Penelope had a lot of boyfriends. And so all the girls were talking about her and her boyfriends, and she must be doing something bad to have that many boyfriends. Then one day, one of the girls went and talked to Penelope and asked her. And she said, you know, I was just friends with these guys. We just hung out. But then I heard the gossip, and I thought, well, if they're talking about me anyway. Gossip changed the course of Penelope's life. Words hurt. But words can also build up. And as Christians, that is what we are called to do. We are called to edify each other, not to tear people down. In Ephesians 4:29, the apostle instructs, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What we say with our tongues or with our thumbs affects others and defines who we are. Look up Matthew 15:11. Jesus said, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. If we use our words to degrade others or use ugly words, then we are degrading ourselves as well. As believers, we have the wisdom and the power to control our tongues, all of our words. We hear the wisdom right here in the Bible, and the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. One commentator wrote, if a man's religion gives him no control over his tongue so that his word will edify and not corrupt, then his religion is useless, for it has failed at a most crucial point. In this modern day and age, we are continually assaulted with words. I dare say we hear or read thousands of words every day. And it seems to me that so many of the words that are on TV and Facebook and emails and websites and Twitter are anything but encouraging or gentle. And the more we read and the more we hear such words, the more likely we are to incorporate them into our own messages and engage in the same behavior. Rather than tune in to those who speak or tweet or text or Facebook or email such messages, we might do well to listen to the wisdom that we read about in God's Word. A teacher some years ago gave me this poem that Beth Day in 1855 wrote. She took the words of 13th century poet Rumi and wrote a longer poem entitled Three Gates of Gold. If you are tempted to reveal a tale to you someone has told about another, make it pass before you speak three gates of gold. These narrow gates, first, is it true? Then, is it needful? In your mind, give truthful answer. And the next is last and narrowest. Is it kind? And if to reach your lips at last, it passes through these gateways three, then you may tell the tale, nor fear what the result of speech may be. My friends, sometimes it's really hard not to get caught up in the ways of the world. But in our baptism and at this table, we know we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us into doing what is right in God's sight. May it be so.